Thank you. Right. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the ADAC XCOM conference call on Friday, the 17th of January, and the time is 13:03 UTC. Gisela, you have the floor for the roll call and apologies.
Thank you, Olivier. On today's call, we have Olivier Cresson-Leblanc, Tijani Benjema, Evan Leibovich, Julie Hammer, Alan Greenberg, and for now, Renalia Abdulrahim has not yet joined us. Shindon Orr is on the call as well. Apologies from Carlton Samuels. And from staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Matt Ashtiani, Sylvia Vivanco, and myself, Gisela Gruber. If I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Olivier.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much, Gisela. Have we missed anyone by any chance who is on the call and whose name has not been called? Okay, so let's go directly to the review of our action items from our last meeting, the 29th of April. There are several, there's no open action item as such. There's some long-term action items, and actually I did forget to go through this with Matt offline, and we'll probably do this right after this call or later on. The next thing in here is the recently closed action items. There was just one, Matt, to set up a standard vote in the 5 working days on the trademark clearinghouse and IDN variants. And the statement was sent to Steve Crocker with a copy to the board secretariat and the head of the IDN variant program. The newly assigned action items at the bottom of the page, there is the webinar for the railroad leaders and the ALAC on the ATRT2, the questions to the community on accountability and transparency within ICANN. The webinar went very well. It lasted for an hour. It took place this week. For any of you that hasn't been on the webinar, but I think that you were all on the webinar, maybe not Julie, but I think everyone else was on there. You can listen to it.
No, Olivia, I wasn't.
Oh, you weren't on this? Oh, I thought that you were, Tijani. Ah, okay. So I invite you to listen to it. And in fact, it's very important for you, Tijani, to listen to it or to get Afralo leadership to listen to it and to look at the material there. What we basically asked for was for the RALOs to bring input into this process. And on top of that, there is the very fact that the whole public comment closes, the initial public comment closes on the 19th, but in fact the ATRT2 group will listen to public input all the way up to the end of the public comment period, and in fact all the way up to Durban. But it would be really good for each one of our RALOs to bring in some input. Anyway, I'm not going to go through the whole webinar, but please, Tijani, when you have time over the weekend, listen to it. It's only an hour, and it's got all the information there. And of course, you've got the details. You can go directly to the public comment for this. Any questions on this? Actually, I see Alan has put his hand up. Alan, please go ahead.
I put my hand up quite a while ago. Actually,
I was reading one page and I can't read the two at the same time.
Okay.
So I apologize.
We're going to mark it up against you. The talk actually was on IDN variants. There was a really good presentation yesterday on the GNSO call on IDN variants, and I'll call attention to the presentation in email in the next day or so. But we may want to look at getting it done for one of our meetings. It was about 15-20 minutes. It was really packed full and it was useful. Thank you.
Excellent, Alan. Thank you for this. I'm sure that has been recorded, so if you could send the pointer to it, both on the ALAC list but also on the IDN mailing list, that would be of great help.
I will try to remember to do the latter. If I don't, someone will fix it for me.
But if you don't...
I'll point to the presentation and to where the audio starts.
If you don't, I'll personally take it against you, and then we can cross out each other's taking against, and that will be fine. We're even.
That sounds reasonable.
Okay, next, Holly is to be the ALAC representative to the GNSO work on policy and implementation in the ICANN context. Should it become a CCWG? Actually, I'm not sure why this was recorded this way, but she is to be our representative on this working group. In fact, there has been a public call for candidates on this working group that has been sent to all of the lists, and I have reminded Glenn de Saint-Géry that Holly will be our representative on there. So she's already got her in the list, and Holly is already apparently going to be added to the mailing list there. Has it become a CCWG, a cross-community working group? No, it has not. Have we had any feedback from the GNSO regarding our suggestion to make it a cross-community working group? No, we have not. Any questions or comments? Oh, I see three people have put their hand up. Goodness. So Evan Leibovich first. Go ahead, Evan.
Thanks, Olivia. This is Evan. I think part of the reason why it was noted that way after the last executive meeting is because having this as a CCWG was a very big deal to me, because this is an issue in which I frankly don't think the GNSO can be entrusted to even create the correct questions, let alone answer them properly. So I have a very, very big concern about this being given to the GNSO and to be made. I mean, this is the exact kind of thing where you don't have the silos. As far as I'm concerned, I would go as far as to say, and I don't think this is too strong, that having this as a GNSO working group and not demanding that this be a cross-constituency one is a dereliction of duty by the board. I am extremely upset that it is being done this way. Frankly, I want nothing to do with it, and if I had my druthers, I would be boycotting this process, because it is an absolute... It is absolutely abhorrent that ICANN would take something that demands all sectors of its community participating as equals and gives prominence to the one that is simply making the most noise about it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Evan. And you don't think that the fact that we are invited, we as the ALAC is invited to provide candidates for even the chartering of the working group, is good enough?
Absolutely not. As you know, we have already been in instances where we have been invited to participate in other working groups, in GNSO working groups. This is, it's tactically a very bad move by ICANN, by not making this a broad community-wide thing. You have a group that is charged with making policy to make the distinctions between policy and implementation. And this is not just an ALAC thing. This is something that the GAC has to be involved with. This is something the ESSAC has to be involved with. This is something even that staff has to be involved with, because they're going to have to execute the rest of it. This is something that we have. This is the exact kind of thing that does not need to be siloed, and in fact demands not being siloed. And it is absolutely insufficient to say that, you know, we have a couple of representatives there. Absolutely not. This is still the GNSO that's driving it. It's the GNSO that's going to have to ratify it, regardless of what ALAC does. And this is, to me, absolutely an abomination. That is not understating the issue. This is something that must not be siloed. Thanks.
I've got the point. Thank you very much, Evan. Next, Cheryl Langdonor.
Thank you, but I suspect Alan might be going to say what I was going to say, so I'll cede to Alan.
No, I want to hear you say it first, please.
I was just going to point out that, for the record, A, this is Cheryl, and B, what has gone out is, of course, a call for a charter drafting team, not the work group itself. And Alan, I would suggest you probably pick up on the how this came about story.
Okay, thank you very much. Alan?
Alan speaking. I'm going to say something quite different. This is the GNSO group that, in my mind,
yes, the board probably should have done something different. They didn't. We could call it an abrogation of board responsibility. We can call it whatever we want. The GNSO was asked to put together a group. They're doing that. Mm-hmm. I think we need to be participating in it, because if we disagree with what comes out of it, we need to make a strong statement saying we disagree. Whether we have a vote or not is moot. We do have a voice. And as Evan keeps on pointing out, we can give advice to the board, and if the advice to the board is we think this is an abomination, what comes out of it, then that certainly will be listened to. I don't think that the work is uniquely done by the GNSO. I know ATRT is going to be looking at whether anything will come out of it, I don't know. So I think we need to participate in the game. If the GNSO had decided this really should be a cross-constituency working group, we would be mired for the next 6 months in how do we charter it, and whose working rules do we use. And that's the last thing I think we need right now. It's sad we don't have any mechanism for cross-working groups, but we don't right now. So I think, you know, we work in this. I'm a little bit perturbed that Holly is always the one who says, yes, I'll work on a group. This is an issue which does have interest to many people in at large, and I think there should be larger participation, and the more participation, the more likely they will not get away with something which is inappropriate. And I'll point out that in many areas, many on the GNSO are agreeing with us on what the division should be in policy versus implementation. So it's not as if they're looking purely for their own territory. I think there are some rational minds there. So yes, I think we should be participating in it. Is the way I would have unfolded the world if I was king? Probably not, but I'm not. And I think if we worry that something bad is going to come out of it, it's absolutely essential that we at least try to be playing in the game and altering that outcome. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Alan. Just to fill you in, I think that the decision to ask Holly if she could be in that group took place on one of the calls that where you were absent, and there was consensus to get Holly to be on that group.
I'm not worried.
So I asked Holly, and she said it was fine. No, it's just to show it's not just Holly. It's a case of, well, we need at least one person to actually be assigned there. Obviously, we need more than one person. So I would seriously suggest that others also look at this. Although I am a little concerned about you, Alan, the number of groups that you're in, I thought you were trying to pull out a little bit rather than be more and more scattered. So,
Olivier, to be clear, I was not planning to participate very actively in this. I'm not objecting to Holly, and I'm not objecting to asking Holly. I'm worried that we don't have other people stepping forward.
Well, I know that Cheryl is already in the design team as well. So we've also got Cheryl on there, and it would be good if we had someone else as well. But I see Tijani has been patiently waiting with his hand up as well. So Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. When Evan started speaking, I put a green check because I agreed with him, and I am really upset as he is about giving to the GNSO this task. Normally, it is a cross-community working group. But when he said we don't have to participate, I removed my check. I don't think that the empty chair is a good position. I think that we have to shout. We have to say already that we are not happy to give this working group to the GNSO. And inside the working group, we have to be there and to shout every time we are not happy with anything. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Tijani. And do you think we should now make it show our displeasure with the fact that it's not a cross-community working group, or should we just take note and then basically say if things are not going in the right way and the working group is captured in one way or other, we can then shout and use our power to comment directly to the board about this.
I think that we need to tell the board that we are not happy with this decision.
Okay, thank you, Tijan.
And also yeah. Inside the working group, we have always shout and say what we think.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. Alan?
I just put in the note what I was going to say. If indeed this was chartered purely based on a board request to the GNSO, and I don't remember the exact wording of the request, then we also have the ability of saying to the board now we weren't happy with the process they followed. Period. That's in addition to anything else we might do.
Okay. Could I have an action item then that we check how this decision came about, whether the board asked specifically that the GNSO should do this or whether the board asked the community to do this. And I mean, it's basically drafting of five lines, putting into question the reason why the board has done what it has done if it's charged specifically the GNSO to do this. That really is the only thing. And I can volunteer to check this myself. I'd be happy if someone knows.
Maybe
with you, Alan.
Yeah, if nothing else, staff has come out with a paper on policy versus implementation. If we haven't commented on it and we think it's ill-advised or we think it's great, we should.
Okay, I think we did comment on this, didn't we?
I don't remember.
Yeah, there's just so much. Okay, well, let's follow up this after this call and check. So I see the action item OCL to check how the decision was made if the board chartered the GNSO to do this. It would be helpful if we actually knew what this related to, because right now it makes sense, but just reading this line doesn't make sense at all.
This should be policy versus implementation working group.
Yeah. Yeah. Policy versus implementation working group. If we can have this somewhere in the notes. Oh, I can edit the notes as well. Okay. Well, I'm not going to edit the notes as well. Anyway, let's continue then. Welcome, Rinalia. We are looking at the moment at the action items, and so we are looking at Holly Reich to be the ALAC representative in the GNSO work on policy and implementation in the ICANN context. Next, there is an agenda item on the next ALAC agenda regarding the GNSO work on policy and implementation in the ICANN context. So, okay, fair enough, that needs to be put in there. And so we will be discussing this during the next ALAC call. Next, Heidi is to get in touch with CCNSO staff and see if there is any interest in a joint ALAC-CCNSO meeting specific to the status of the georegions, the progress framework of interpretation, and an update on the study of country and territory names. That's in progress. Is there any last-minute update on this, Heidi? Okay, I can't hear you, Heidi. You might be muted.
That
Cheryl?
That sounds more like a briefing than a joint meeting.
Yes, that's right. Well, it sounds like, yeah, there's some kind of briefing and discussion that will be followed afterwards. Cheryl Langdonor, go ahead. Yeah,
thank you. Nicely picked up, Alan. In fact, one of the things we discussed when I spoke to this issue at the recent CCNSO Council meeting where Heidi's request was discussed. The CCNSO, I believe, will be getting back to Heidi with the agreement in principle for a gathering of some form, whether or not it is... it depends on logistics and planning and how much time everyone has and everything else, of course. But they'd like to see a small task team involving a couple of key staff members. You know, Bart and Heidi come immediately to mind. And obviously the chairs or their delegates and Ron and myself to make sure that such a meeting gets put together properly and appropriately and with a reasonable agenda from both sides on it. They also felt that this looked a little bit, particularly with some of those topics, looked a little bit more like a briefing. And if it was particularly work group based briefings we were after, we probably should do those stand alone, which they were more than happy to do. And I did mention that there was an action item out of Beijing for exactly that to happen with the framework of interpretation, so that they should be prepared for that anyway. So Alan's point is well made, because it was noted by the council as well. And finally, if I can just push my husband to try and stop him snoring so I can hear myself think, let alone anyone else, that the option of it being a leadership and leadership gathering was also suggested, and that might be a fallback position. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate, you know, when I looked at that initially, these are briefings which the ALAC may well need, but the CCNSO is likely to have had in spades and in more depth. So having them sit in on a briefing so we can ask 5 minutes of questions as a joint meeting, I think, is ill-advised. On the other hand, having their leadership or perhaps a select number of people who want to participate in a bit of discussion about it at the end of our briefing, I think would be very well advised.
Okay, thank you, Alan. So let's amend this action item and make sure this is not called a joint ALAC-CCNSO meeting, but perhaps a briefing session from the CCNSO to the ALAC. So that does not imply the full CCNSO having to meet with the ALAC.
Can you wait on that? Sorry, Cheryl, here for the record. Amend it rather than alter it, and say that needs clarifying, but the suggestion will come back that a small team's put together to make some appropriate meeting happen in Durban.
Okay, so my suggestion then, in order, you know, because time is running by, let's not have an action item on this. Let's wait for Heidi to come back to us and for you to work with Heidi on making the amendment.
Sorry.
Yes, hello, Heidi.
Yeah, sorry, I had to step away for just a moment. On this action item, I've been in touch with Hart a couple of times, and I'm still waiting for feedback from him.
Okay,
that's
thank you.
My only update there.
Yeah, Heidi, Cheryl here, sorry. Bart brought it to the council 2 nights ago, so
correct,
he probably
correct.
Hasn't had time to get it back to you yet.
Yeah, that's one of the... I asked him like a week ago, and he said he would bring it to the council, and then I followed up after the council on the 14th, but not yet. I've not heard back yet.
Okay, thank you. Any comments on the whole list of action items that we have there, or can we just move on? Okay, I see no one putting their hand up. So let's move on to the next agenda item, and that's number 3, the policy advice development page. And for this, I invite you to have a look at the statements or endorsements currently being developed, reviewed, or voted on by the ALAC Part B. The first one is the FY14 draft operating plan and budget, and both Tijani Benjema and I have been on a finance budget call sometime a couple of days ago, I think. Tijani, Tijani will be holding the pen on this statement, I gather that he has been as interested as I have to be on this webinar that took place. There has been a call for comments sent to the Finance and Budget Subcommittee, including a copy of the presentation that was given by ICANN Finance. Interesting plan. Tijani, you have a few words to share with us, please?
Thank you, Olivier. As you know, on Wednesday, we had a call with Xavier and his team about this operating plan and the budget. It's a new process based on the new management vision. It is done in a usual manner, because we didn't begin from the priorities of the strategic plan. The strategic strategic plan wasn't followed. The strategic plan was done before before FADI, and the new vision came with FADI. So it is, we will not have this time a framework. We will have directly the operating plan and budget that we have now and that we need to comment on. I think that everyone have to have a look on it and give me your vision so that I can draft something which will reflect the vision of the whole at large, at least the representatives of us at large. If I don't receive anything, I will start drafting something and propose you the first draft.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And actually, I note that there has already been a couple of comments on the plan that you can see on the public commenting space, not our own public commenting space, but the actual ICANN public comment space. And one which I found particularly interesting to look at, which was drafted by Mikey O'Connor, asking several questions on process and on numbers and on just points, which I think that whilst reading through, I was actually quite much in agreement with. So it might be worth looking at that as well.
Sure, sure, Olivier. And sure, it will not be something that we will agree with as usual, because it is something which is not usual. Already in Beijing, we said to Xavier that this is not a usual, this is not a normal process. It is a shortened process. And we have a lot of remarks on it. But I think that this year we have to accept it because we don't have any other choice. We are by the end of the period and we have to comment on it. So we will comment. I don't think that a lot of things will change from this project.
Tijani, one more question for you before I open the floor for anyone else to ask questions. There was one question which was asked, I think it was actually Mikey O'Connor that asked the question, how much of this budget proposal is already frozen? Because it looked as though it was already pretty well cooked, and yet they're opening it up for comment.
And that's exactly what said Xavier. He said that a minor change may happen, but the core project will remain. It is almost frozen.
Okay.
I think that we need to be positive and to try to find things that we can enhance, we can make better. Rather than try to change everything or to give remarks on things that are not usable, are not doable.
Okay. Thank you, Tijani. Any questions to Tijani or myself or comments on this? Okay, thank you. Let's move on. The next one is the Who Is Information Status Policy, and Matt has asked Carlton, who is the chair of our Who Is working group, whether a statement was necessary. Have you had any feedback on this, Matt?
Hi, this is Matt for the Transcript Record. No, I have not.
Okay, I see Alan has put his hand up, so Alan Greenberg, go ahead, please.
Well, I wasn't asked, but I'll give an opinion anyway. This is about as far away from something that we want to comment on as possible. It's the implementation of a consensus policy which was approved so long ago I can't remember it. And all it says is if registrars or registries are going to publish status of a domain, they must use official status designations. This is the implementation of a policy which was already approved. Hmm. It's about as straightforward as can be. Let's learn to walk away from things which are boring.
So, Alana, thank you. I take it that we do need to write five documents that we can send to the board with a copy to the board secretary and send to all board members, plus also Circle ID. Or perhaps we shouldn't. Perhaps we should just forget about it.
And they should be at least three times as long as the 1.5 page of the implementation itself.
Okay, thank you for this, Alan. I think we can, with your input here, we can safely then put a cross on this one and say that we won't be submitting a statement on this, or at least we will be suggesting
be
that we're not.
You could be polite and ask Carlson if that's okay, but I just can't.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Matt, if you can just follow up with Carlson, please, and just let him know that our GNSO liaison has mentioned this is probably not something. In fact, 99% chance that it's not something we should comment on, and Carlton might just say yes. Let's not comment on it. Thank you. Next is, as my screen has scrambled, here we go. Next is the ALAC, at-large ALAC statement to the board regarding security and stability implications of new GTLDs. The ALAC is currently commenting on the drafted statement, which I believe has come from Julie Hammer. Julie, has there been a huge amount of feedback?
Julie Hammer for the transcript. Olivia, the only feedback has been a thumbs up from Rinalia. Thank you, Rinalia, but there haven't been any comments added to the page, and I think it was comment period was due to close today, so I think we can accept the statement as proposed unless someone here wants to suggest any changes.
Anyone? I see a green tick from Cheryl. Anyone else wishes to? There's a green tick from Rinalia as well. So the call for comment closes today. The vote starts on Monday, the 20th. Do you think you'll have enough time to add all the amendments during the weekend? And it's camera ready for Monday?
I'll work very hard to try and do that, Olivia. one query I do have is, should it be at-large ALAC statement or should it just be ALAC statement? I'm really not sure. That was the title that was put on the policy development page, but I'm not sure what it should be.
Yeah, this is a double employ, isn't it, the at-large ALAC? We'll just have it as an ALAC statement.
ALAC statement.
What happens. I see Evan has put his hand up, so Evan Ljubovic, you have the floor.
Hi, I was just going to speak specifically to that. If it's going to be called an at-large ALAC statement, then that implies that it's been sent down to the grassroots and been examined at the RALO level, which it hasn't. So if it's going to be something that ALAC comments on and votes on, then it's appropriate to call it an ALAC thing. If it's going to be called an at-large thing, then that's going to imply further and deeper consultation, which I don't think has happened. Thank you.
Well, it has. It has been sent out, and there has been a public call for comment.
The themselves have not given input on this specifically, generally, have they?
No input is agreement.
Yeah. There's been plenty of opportunity.
There's been a lot of opportunity, yeah, and Julie has spoken about this in prior ALAC calls, and there has been a lot of requests. In fact, we've left this open for a very long time, so I think we can make it an ALAC because ultimately all the statements come out of the ALAC anyway. I don't think there's that much importance on the title, whether it's at large or ALAC. However, what I do think is we should have either one or the other.
Yeah.
So let's
I agree.
An ALAC statement. So ALAC statement is the answer, since this really is what it is. It is the committee at the end that votes on the statement, so it is an ALAC statement. But thank you very much for this, Julie. I mean, the lack of response shows how wonderful that that statement is. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to click onto like, which means that not only Rinalia likes this statement, but I do too. So there you go.
You're very generous, Olivia. Thank you.
I don't often do that, you know. It's these clicks come every now and then. So next is the so the voting will start on this statement. The next one is the proposed modification of GNSO operating procedures concerning the deadline for the submission of reports and motions. And Alan is to confirm whether a statement is necessary. I hope that he's going to mention we have to put it aside because it's a darn long name. Alan, you have the floor.
I would be delighted to write a statement on this. However, if the XCOM and ALAC have any sense of propriety, they will tell me it is far too rude to send and scrap it. Is my message coming across?
It could be a little obtuse, Alan. Be clearer, dear.
All right, I'll be clearer. The note would have to have a number of rude words in it.
Yes.
And
I get it.
It would be inappropriate for the ALAC to be criticizing another part of ICANN in that way. So let's just be silent on it. But the word anal does come into the discussion.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. Keeping our composure, let's see if we have any questions or comments. I see Rinalia is okay with silence. She has silently put a plus one. In the chat, and I don't see anyone else jumping up and down to speak, so I guess this one can also be put aside, and I do agree it is a little a bit of a concern to wonder whether this, well, what place do we have to comment? Next is the proposed final GTLD registry agreement.
Olivier.
Yes, go ahead, Alan.
A further comment. Number one, why the GNSO rules say this should go out for a public comment is interesting in its own right. More interesting is the number of emails that it took to settle on what this ended up saying. And if anyone ever wants to see an exercise in over concern about process, it's a good one.
Well, question, Alan, actually, just out of curiosity, how did it end up being there? Why was a public comment actually put there? Was it because some people cried wolf and said this is terrible, there should be a public comment? Or
No.
Was this a hard-fought thing?
It turns out the GNSO rules say that there must be a formal public comment on change of the rules.
Ah, okay.
So that's a consequence of a decision made a long time ago, probably makes sense in some context when there are massive changes. It makes little sense in this case. The origin of the issue itself is the rule was you have to submit a motion 8 days ahead of time. There was a discussion a while ago about whether that means 8 days counting on the calendar or 8 days 24 hours times 8 days from the minute the meeting is going to start. And if a motion is submitted 3 minutes later than that, then it has to be rejected and a variety of things like that. And it went on from there. So
from bad to worse.
So I have a question to ask to the GNSO Council, if you could please relay it. In how many ways can you split a hair?
Well, they're going pretty far in answering that question.
Okay. So this was a tongue-in-cheek question, by the way, for the transcript.
And how many ways do you have to worry about? How many ways do you have to worry about how the hair is split?
Well, let's ask for a public comment on this one and see what we get. But
I think we should go into public comment on it.
Proposed final new GTLD registry agreement. Alan is to confirm if a statement is necessary on this.
I didn't realize that was in my court. I really don't know. I haven't looked at it in any detail. What's the deadline? 2 days, 3 days?
Deadline for this is in 2 days, yeah. I mean, we can always reply in the reply period if the need be. I thought Matt had asked you about this.
I suspect in many cases we don't care. In other cases we strongly support it. I'll look at it, but I don't know what's going to happen. It's one of those things.
I mean,
that
We were very interested in replying to the RAA, and this is the registry agreement. So this one, I guess, is somehow also very important. If you could please check after this call and come back to us, we could ask for an extension, or we could submit a response during the response.
You realize that at least some registries are exceedingly upset over this, and if we're worried about pissing off people, as we seem to be these days, this would be a good opportunity to piss off registries who generally are our friends. But
yeah.
I will look at it and see if anything screams at me.
Anyone else has comments on this?
I'd like sleeping
dogs. No one else putting their hand up. Let's move on. The next one, the new GTLD board committee consideration of GAC safeguard advice. You'll note that it actually says ALAC is still considering drafting a statement. There is just a quick follow-up on this. I know that on one of our previous calls, we did say that we might not wish to get involved in this. However, Alan and I have had an off-the-record conversation with someone during the ATRT and have been told, well, you know, it's time for everyone to chime in, and if there is stuff that you don't like on the GAC advice, then it would be interesting to, you know, for the ALAC to point it out. Did I describe this correctly, Ellen?
Well, I think there's a stronger statement than that. I think they would welcome input on it, and it's not a matter of upsetting people. But it's important to point out this is not on the GAC communique. It is on the Annex 1, the safeguards. So it's only a subset of it. But the message we got was that, yes, input would be welcome. The board asked for input with the agreement of the GAC chair. There was a significant amount of discussion preceding that. And if we have anything to say, plus or minus, they would welcome that.
Okay, thank you, Alan. So what I would suggest is if we all have a look at Annex 1 at some point in the next few days and perhaps look at any of the points that we definitely do not agree with. I don't think we should pick on every single point in there, but I know that there are a couple of things Evan has said earlier in prior calls, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we agree with. There's some things which we might think the GAC has looked at a little too far. And certainly when we look at prior occurrences of GAC advice, such as the IOC, RC, these things have sometimes not been directly in line with us. And it's been suggested that it would be healthy for us to comment. Evan? But comment constructively, that was the word used. If you can comment constructively, that would be welcome. Evan, go ahead.
Thanks, Olivier. Considering that we are, like the GAC, an advisory committee of ICANN, I'd be very wary of jumping into a process mindful of the possibility that we simply open ourselves up, that perhaps ALAC advice should also itself be the source of public comment. There's a precedent here that sort of bothers me, and considering what I saw during the public forum at the Beijing meeting, I'm very, very mindful of, you know, the idea of putting in advice that, as I've said in the Adobe chat, is piling on to the GAC. They are a strategic partner of ours, and I'm not interested in any comment at all that is that only deals with the parts of it that we don't like. If we have something to say, we've got to be. I would just as soon chime in on the many areas where we've got something in common with them, and in fact leave out the things that we don't. If we're going to have something to say, as you say, make a constructive focus on the things that we agree with them, because I'm seeing the GAC as being a strategic partner of ours as we go along through this, and you know, right now it seemed like the call for public comment on GAC advice was, to me, something quite extraordinary and really something that I'm concerned about the president here, about having advisory council advice be subject to public comment before it goes, you know, anyway, sorry, I'm rambling because I'm tired,
yeah.
But you get my point. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. And this certainly is a concern that I had, and this is why I did call for a quick impromptu meeting with Alan whilst we were in Los Angeles. Alan, you have the floor.
Yeah, I've got to make one comment. If we ever gave such controversial advice to the board that they weren't sure how the community felt on it, I would think it is their duty to ask for input on it. I don't think that's something we should be worried about or shy away from. If the board is going to make a decision based on some advice, the board still has an obligation to at least test the pulse of the community on it before acting. I think that's the board's responsibility in a multi-stakeholder organization. They ultimately have to make the decision, but the decision should be an informed one based on what the community believes. They may go against it if they feel that's what the organization needs. But I think if we ever were in a position of giving advice that is radical, the R3 paper is an example, I would expect them to go out for public comment on it. I wouldn't be afraid of that. I think they'd be negligent if they did anything else.
Alan, except in that case, we explicitly did create a public comment period ourselves. It was not the board that created a public comment period.
Sorry,
then
it was a bad example that I gave. All I'm saying is the board has an obligation to sense the feeling of the community. You know, if it's already been done, fine. But if it hasn't, then I think that's exactly what we expect of them. We don't want them to act unilaterally with no understanding of what the community feels on anything. And we rail against them when they do.
So I know I'm mindful of the fact we did speak about this already during one of our last calls, and we really need to think of this as a follow-up in what are we doing next. The time is of the essence, since the response was the common closing date was actually a few days ago. And I don't know, there is a reply period, so we do have until the 4th of June. I'm mindful of all of what's been said, and really I'd like to try and see where we go now, because on one side, yes, it would create a precedent, I guess, of an advisory committee advice being commented on by another advisory committee. On the other hand, it would also, we have been given a green light of saying, well, it would be healthy it would be welcome if the ALAC did say something. And if you said something, mindful of the fact that we do support a lot of what's been said, then perhaps saying what we support and mentioning what we don't support, or where we're not that supportive of things, would be welcome, both by the board, of course, since they have asked for this, but also by the GAC chair. This is all a matter of a friendly discussion, pointing out what we might not be agreeing with. Is there, are there a lot of things in Annex 1 that we don't agree with? Are there a number of things or a lot of things in Annex 1 that we agree with? My suggestion is to have just a simple statement that lists what we agree with and what we're not so happy with. I would shy away from having just the negatives on there, because that just transforms into a shooting gallery. And on the other hand, I'm a little concerned now that if we don't say anything at all, we would effectively not be showing what we support in Annex 1, and that effectively shows us shying away from our responsibility to give our point of view on these things. Evan?
Thanks, Olivia. This is Evan. Two issues. Number one, we're perfectly capable in giving our own comments on the kind of things that the GAC spoke about, with or without it being a reaction to a GAC document. The other thing is that we do have a precedent of sorts. It did take an awful lot of resources, but if you recall, we also had a very explicit point-by-point commentary on the GAC scorecard in Brussels, and in which we went through the GAC scorecard and said, we agree with this, we agree with this, we don't agree with this. It was a very good document, but it took an awful lot of effort on our part, and it was very, very, you know, it was very comprehensive in saying there were things we agreed with, there were things we didn't agree with. I personally bore the brunt of some of the consequences of that, as some of our friends from NCSG essentially complained that we had abandoned them by daring to agree with the GAC on some things. I don't have a problem with that, but I'm just saying that there is a precedent with the way that we handled the scorecard. I would just note that effort took an awful lot of person hours to do. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Evan, mindful of this. So, it's really now down to a yes or a no, and I'd like to ask you all, I mean, I sense that there is a mitigated feeling here. It's not even a rough consensus. Who would be okay with having the advice drafted? If you could put a green tick, and we're talking here about the friendly advice, basically, being drafted.
Could you clarify, Cheryl, for the record, are you talking about a predominantly positive document which is outlining where we agree with particular points in this, and then in that document also, if and when there are things we disagree with, making a note of them?
Well, we're thank you, Cheryl. It's Olivier for the transcript. We're looking specifically at Annex 1, safeguards on new GTLDs.
Yes.
There are six safeguards which are being laid out in this document. Who is verification and checks? Mitigating abuse activity, security checks,
yes,
documentation, making and handling complaints, and consequences. And looking at these six, I'm not quite sure whether we disagree on any of them. What I'm saying is we could basically just list those six and say whether we agree or don't agree. And there might be some where we might say, well, who is verification and checks? Yes, but with a process to make sure you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm paraphrasing here, of course, but it's, you know, a case where you have a due process. And for most of these things, mitigating abusive activity. But you see, mitigating abuse activity starts becoming a bit more controversial because at that point it starts looking at distribution of malware, operation of botnets, phishing, piracy, trademark, or copyright infringement. You're starting to look at content. So that's where the question goes. Does the ALAC agree that there should be a measure of looking at the content of those domain names or not? That's why I think there is something important for us to mention on there, and maybe we might need to frame the question specifically to the ALAC for us to be able to discuss this. Evan and then Alan. Evan, you have the floor.
Sorry, old hand.
Okay, thank you. Alan Greenberg, go ahead.
Well, we may not agree with the full list of what they're giving, but I don't see how we could disagree that consumer safeguards on some of these domains would be a good thing.
Yep.
I mean, that's what we fight for all the time. And ICANN is always involved in content. We like to pretend we're not. The UDRP, the URS, all sorts of things relate to content.
So perhaps that's the kind of feedback that we should provide. And it's Olivier again for the transcript. I mean, the very fact that these questions are being asked shows that the board is either undecided or is expecting that there might be a wave of replies that would go against these.
I
know that as soon as one mentions content, everybody says, oh, no, ICANN, this is outside ICANN's remit. And yet, as you just mentioned, and I totally agree with you, Alan, ICANN is one way or other involved with content.
look, once we started talking about GTLDs, which have very meaningful content to people, I don't see how we could ignore it. And to be honest,
thank you.
And although, and I also don't have a clue how the board could possibly implement this at this late date.
Thanks, Alan. Cheryl?
What I'm hearing, I'm in agreement with, don't get me wrong, but I'm deeply concerned how much of your ALAC meeting is going to be chewed up by this. Because with the ad nauseum conversations we've had both prior and now, the clarification and significant points you're discussing now, I just am fearful of getting anything done in a timely manner, unless what you do is bite the bullet, agree to draft something, which is, as Renalia has, I think, very nicely outlined in the chat, a balanced and sensitive response from the ALAC with constructive feedback, et cetera, et cetera, looking at the common points, and I also suggested make sure we draw upon reference to our prior statements, because most of those things we've made, you know, lines in the sand on before. So if it can draft something and then put that draft to the ALAC for comment before your meeting, you might just have a chance of getting some sort of consensus on it. But otherwise it's going to, you know, become a very complicated and drawn out and genuinely unrewarding experience otherwise.
Okay, thank you very much, Cheryl. I see Evan with his hand up.
Hi, thanks. I agree totally with Cheryl about the potential of this to chew up all of ALAC's time, and wondering if we have the luxury of time to be able to punt this to the GTLD working group, let it percolate into something at the level of Avery's group, and then have it come up to ALAC somewhat cooked. Do we have the luxury of time to be able to do that?
Well, Evan, I think whilst this would work, we don't really have that much time. We've got until the 4th of June when the reply period closes. So it's 15 days. Now, what Cheryl did mention was to start with just a simple first small draft and take this as a discussion document. And I think that would be a draft that would just be looking at those 6 points. Yes, no, no, yes, or yes with, yes, but. I think that it would be yes on most of the things, but there would be buts.
And some annotations.
And some annotations, that's right. And what I can do is to ask staff to look at, or Matt specifically, to look at the past comments that we have touching on these things. I mean, each one of these is a straightforward, you know, who is, et cetera, and we can just refer to these statements. Would that fly?
Yep.
Tijani?
Yes, I totally agree with Cyril, and I don't think that we have time and we should pass it to the working group, to the NewsTLD working group. Thank you.
Tijani, sorry, I'm against that because they would take too long. They couldn't do it in 15 days.
Okay, so question. So I need a volunteer to hold the pen on this. You knew this was coming up. Thank you for all volunteering.
Alan, I'll draft something before the end of the weekend. It's going to be very short. It's not going to be specifically targeted.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Just a seed. Just put a seed there, and I'll also add something onto it. That's perfect.
The person who spoke saying he'd do it is Alan.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan. And the person who said he'll add to it is Olivier. Right, let's move on. I know that there was some question as to why, well, we didn't want to comment on it last month, and now we do want to comment on it. That's because of the discussion that we had with, well, let's just say, with the GAC chair asking the questions and basically saying, would it be appropriate to comment in a way which would be positive.
not positive, but friendly comments, basically. Anyway, let's move on. The next thing, proposed final 2013 RAA. There is a statement at the moment that's been drafted. I can't believe we still are in this part of the call, but I guess policy is very important. The RAA final draft is to be voted on now. There was a lot of text, a lot of discussions based on this. Where are we at the moment? Has anyone followed this closely? I think we just are voting on it now, aren't we? I know, the vote will start soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's still subject to comment, but...
Yeah, they're still commenting. We won't discuss this. There's a lot of material in there now.
Yeah, I think some of it is ill-advised, by the way, but I've tried to influence it.
Okay, thank you. I've noticed your comments on there. There's one concern I do have. It appears to be very long-winded, and that will definitely require a summary, short summary.
Maybe we could have Matt chime in here. It was unclear to me if the statement Carlton added, if anyone looked at that wiki, was up until a line of equal signs, a separator. That's all he added in his last edit when he said he put it on. There's a lot of stuff following. I thought it was background information, but some of the dialogue implied it was all meant to be the statement. So I don't know exactly what the statement is that we're commenting on, and I may well have only commented on the first quarter.
Hi, this
I would
Matt
like a little bit of specificity.
Hi, this is Matt.
Go ahead, Matt.
So it's my understanding that Carlton sent Holly some brief notes for her to look over and some text. Holly then reviewed Carlton's work, added a few things, posted it on the wiki. Carlton saw what she had done, looked at it, reviewed it in a more finalized version, but put it above what Holly had placed on the wiki and used the line of equal signs just as an indicator that it had been updated, and he didn't want to delete any of her work. So it's my understanding that everything above the equal sign is the most current statement.
Okay, which sort of was not agreed to in an interchange between Renalia and Holly later on. But good, if that's the statement, then at least we know what it is we're commenting on.
Okay, thank you. We've got a couple more days, so please, comments are very welcome on this. Let's move on ourselves, otherwise we'll be here for another 2 hours. Trademark Clearinghouse and IDN variants, the ALAC is currently voting on the drafted document, and I have to thank Renalia for her work in getting this moved forward, and of course the main drafters of this, who were Hong Chui, who was Hong Chui as well. The next one is the questions to the committee on the accountability and transparency within ICANN. Quick note on this one, there was a webinar and the different chairs of SOs and ACs were asked to get the RALOs to work on this. We have until the end of the comment period to comment on this. Next, I ask you all, by the way, to check with your regions if they're picking up the ball and moving forward with this. If they're not, you have my personal green light to go and give them a kick into action. That's one which is very important because it affects internet users. If we're not actually ready to even comment on this, then really I'm for scrapping the whole thing and start from scratch again. Cheryl, you put your hand up.
Have you questions of
you? Cheryl,
okay.
You have your hand up.
Hey, Cheryl, for the record, I wasn't sure if you'd finished because I was a follow-on. A related point, not a...
Oh, there's nothing that goes further than scrapping after that.
Okay,
so
fine.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I just wanted a follow-up question, issue that was raised in the webinar, and one that I am quoting in my response to the questions, saying that I would like to make good use of such a tool if we create such a tool, and that was building on Garth's proposal in the first section where we're asked to make somewhat blanket responses to how successful or otherwise we felt the implementation of the ATRT1's recommendations are. And of course, it depends on which ones you're looking at, doesn't it? And he suggested that having a dissected listing of those would be quite useful. The proposal at the webinar was to have a table of some description put up for that purpose. Is that going to happen? And if so, that might also help the regions respond.
Thank you, Cheryl. The table was actually expertly put together quickly by Matt and was sent to Garth to find out if this is what he was intending or what he was speaking about, or and basically to ask him whether he wanted to improve on it. We haven't received a reply from Garth yet. Have you received a reply, Matt?
Hi, this is Matt for the record.
Cheryl,
yes,
for the record,
we can hear you. Go ahead.
In the absence of a response, can I say, can we just go with it?
Well, what the table basically is the different works of the ATRT1 chopped into bits and put into a sort of different order so that they would be aligned by subject. For those of you that have followed the recent work of the ATRT2, it has gone through the staff staff implementation of recommendations. And what Math basically did was to take that table, take away all of the staff recommendations and implementation columns, and just basically put the issues and next to it the comments from the community.
And Cheryl, for the record, might I ask, seeing as we're sort of doing this in a black box development plan here, it would be useful if the community was going to be using this tool for to have some sort of level 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, where one is, you know, fully or not at all implemented, don't care which way the scale goes, that type of thing, if that could be integrated into it, that would be. Because, for example, the board GAC relations has neither been completed nor properly implemented, but it is in process. That should probably score somewhere around a 3 for those in the know. For those not in the know, it might score nothing. I don't know, but we need to tease that out.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. So are you saying we should get Matt to share this with the ALAC, share this table with the ALAC, just go ahead, put it on the wiki, and we can just... Okay, let's do that then. Let's do this. Okay, thank you. Matt, you're clear with this?
Yes, I'm doing it as we speak.
All right, thanks very much. Let's move on. Statement on WCIT outcomes. No bandwidth. Will come later. Thank you. Next, currently open public comments. I think we're already working on. There's nothing we need to address that has come up today, Matt, is there?
No, I haven't seen anything come up. But to be fair, I think I've been awake for an hour and 15 minutes.
Now, I don't think anything's locked up. All right, thanks. So next, the ALS decertification and certification issues, agenda item number 4. This is just a quick announcement, basically. We've had a request from two ALSs to be decertified. One is ISOC Pakistan, and ISOC has effectively advised us, ISOC HQ has advised us that that ISOC Pakistan itself has ceased to exist. And the other one is a request from Izumi Aizu to delist or deaccredit the internet users network in Tokyo since he is winding it up. So with this, we looked at our rules of procedure. There was nothing specific in the rules of procedure talking about this. However, there is a page which is linked from our agenda, the framework page, which effectively explains how an ALS is accredited and is deaccredited. So with regards to the deaccreditation of an ALS, it mentions that there needs to be an attempt to try and get in touch with that RALO and to find out if they're, sorry, not with that radar, with that ALS, with that at-large structure. And then there needs to be a vote by the ALAC afterwards, where there should be a two-third majority to decertify an ALS. And I was going to announce here that I will ask for the vote to take place during the ALAC call, our next ALAC call, so as to expedite the de-accreditation, at least of the Internet Users Network, since it is a request made by the ALS representative. But also I was going to ask for the vote to take place on ISOC Pakistan, having tried to email the ALS contact address. I have received a bounce. Having tried to email the other people listed in the application, I have not had any reply yet. And we have another week until a reply should be there. So
and the parent body advice. The parent body advice is fairly significant.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, and the parent body advice is there. And, I mean, that was an advice which was given about a year ago already. So we have just been a bit, I can't say slacking, but because we were working on our rules of procedure, et cetera, there's been some change. I noticed Rinalia says we need to give advance notice to ALAC members about this vote. Yes, I believe that should be shown in the agenda, isn't it, Heidi?
The agenda of the ALAC meeting, you're saying. This is Heidi for the record.
Yes, Heidi.
Yes. In fact, I've just updated. Correct. I've just added that to the topics for the May 28th ALAC meeting.
It will be items for decision.
Mm.
And generally, Rinalia, well, generally, in fact, everything that is under items for decision works as either a consensus call or a vote, since a decision needs to be made. So on this case, I think that because it does mention a two-third majority, we will need to have an actual vote and not a consensus call.
Perfect.
I'm starting to get to know some of the procedures, and now Alan has changed them. It's terrible.
Oh, they're not changed that much, don't be.
Adam Greenberg, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just to note that it's two-thirds of those voting, so it's not two-thirds of the ALA.
That's correct.
Okay, so
doesn't
it say two-thirds majority of the members of the ALAC who cast a vote? Yes, so two-thirds of those voting. Any comments or questions about these two? I know that there are other RALOs that are looking at de-accreditation of ALSs. Some of them appear to be straightforward, with the ALS having actually been proven to have disappeared. Some others are a little more confused because some say that the ALS does exist, others say that they don't. I don't wish to go through the whole list now. And let's just wait until the RALOs start seeing how this first vote moves forward and start suggesting de-accreditation of some ALSs. Alan and then Rinalia. Alan, go ahead, please.
Yeah, just to note that if we go ahead and have an abstain option on this vote, abstains count as no's. So I would suggest we don't need an abstain option, that someone makes the decision yes or no.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Alan. Rinalia?
Thank you, Olivier. This is Rinalia for the Transnet. I would like to make a suggestion in terms of the practice of sending out meeting agenda for the ALAC. If there is items for decision, in particular, that requires a vote, I'd like that copy-paste in the main message itself so that members pay particular attention to that and they make a mental note of that. Otherwise, you know, some people just noted that the message had come and said, okay, it is going to be next week at this particular time, and they don't even click on the agenda, and then they get caught by surprise. So I would recommend this as practice to staff.
Thank you, Rinalia. That's an excellent point. I see
strong support.
Shows strong support. Staff, could we please make sure that this happens?
Yes, this is Heidi. That's a good idea,
Rinalia.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, this part of the call also speaks about the certification, because there is decertification. There's also the question of certification. What I will ask at the time, well, there are a number of things. First is updating the revised ALAC rules of procedures. And I guess that, Alan, are you going to work on this? How, you know, what's the next steps on this? With regards to decertification first, sorry.
My strong recommendation is that we formally approve the current rules. I have asked for an opinion back from Sam, which I would appreciate if Heidi could follow up on, to verify that if we change the numbering and the headings in the document, it does not require board approval. I don't have no problem sending it to them for information. But I'm presuming that if we, as Rinalia suggested, we take out decertification, which is stuck in halfway through the certification procedure under the title of certification, and put it in its own section for clarity, that does not constitute a change or requires board approval, that regardless that we either approve the new adjunct document as I submitted it, or if Sam agrees, we segregate the decertification process, but that we not make any changes at this point. Let's get the new rules of procedure operational, and we need three of the adjunct documents approved to do that.
Yep.
And once we are approved, we can then go in through an orderly process of make changes as necessary.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Alan. And I guess in the meantime, we'll just be using the process that is described on this web page, on the framework web page.
We have no choice.
The feedback from Sam with regards to accreditation and deaccreditation of an decertification and certification of an ALS is that the board would have to give its green light to any changes that we decide to do. I don't think at the moment we can see this as being an actual change to the rule. I don't know how that framework page was drafted, but I gather that this was drafted in full agreement with the board, wasn't it?
Well, yes,
Cheryl, perhaps?
Yes, it was, and I pointed to all the relevant documents. The only question right now is, does changing the numbering and the titles constitute a change which requires board approval?
Okay.
I presume the answer is no, but we need to know that for sure before we vote on it.
Well, staff will follow up on this then, please. And Cheryl?
Yeah, I just wanted to support Alan's approach on this, and I think getting it very clear with Sam is a very useful thing. But I did want to just make sure that everyone was aware that the actual atlarge.icann.org/en/framework document is a construct that the page itself should reflect but may not reflect the actual text that was approved. It was intended to reflect the actual text that was approved. Providing the process isn't changed, I shouldn't imagine that a sensible re-editing to make things easier to understand and more simple language and a better following of process enabled would affect the process per se at all. So even if we do shift it around in terms of layout, etc., there is no in principle change to the processes, so it should be a no-brainer, but we should get it checked, yeah.
Okay.
And my last point, it's Alan, and my last point on updating rules of procedure, there is a third adjunct document that we need to approve. It is the one on board selection processes, and I will need some help from staff and Cheryl in finding the right documents to put together for that
one. Sure. Okay.
Just giving a heads up.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alan.
There's a fourth document which is not an adjunct document. That is the mailing list one, and that you'll be seeing from me in a few days.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. Staff, you have that noted.
Sylvia.
Heidi. Sylvia. Whoever.
Yes. I'm taking notes. But can you please repeat the last part? The last sentence.
Alan will require Yeah, go ahead, Alan. You're probably better to explain it.
I'm not sure what the last part was. There's a third adjunct document on at-large board member selection processes, which I will need some help from staff and Cheryl in identifying the right documents to group together. And there is a fourth document that is not technically an adjunct document, but which is necessary on mailing lists, and I will be sending out a draft of that shortly.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Alan. Let's move on. I see still Cheryl and Alan still have their hands up. Are these old hands or new hands?
Very old hands.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Right, let's move on. So with regards to decertification, I think we've touched on everything. With regards to certification, as you know, there has also been a recent discussion with regards to a LACRALO, possible application of from a LACRALO BLS. And so the question here is whether it would be time to look at this in more detail. The suggestion that I might have is that we could have a working group that would look at the certification process, certainly looking at the tightening of the certification process and amending of it. Of course, that's something which the working group would do, would then submit recommendations to the ALAC. The ALAC would then have to pass it by the board, et cetera, et cetera. Go through the whole process, of course, to do this. It's just that we've recently seen varying levels of acceptance or refusal of new ALSs, and it seems that on some good days you can get through, on bad days you don't. It really is not something that is exact science. So go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the record. First of all, at the moment you don't have any flexibility on this. And yes, the only way to change it is to have the ALAC do it at a later date, as Alan just, I thought, went through in detail. The variability that you're getting from your regional advice can be remedied in a number of ways, not necessarily changing the rules. It can also be remedied in in-service training of those people who are apparently in a position to make these decisions. But the most important thing to remember from an ALAC perspective is it is an opinion they are giving. Nothing more, nothing less. You are then accepting or rejecting it because only the ALAC makes the decision. And it was, in fact, a mechanism when we built this to have regional input involved. It was a mechanism to try and get a piece of local, I admit, a regional level, but at least it's not somebody sitting in Marina Del Rey, as it was then, only relying on due diligence from a set of web pages and perhaps a Google search. So it was a way of trying to tease out whether there was more local information that could be of use. I personally wouldn't die in a ditch over this just yet because, it can be variable. That's because it's politically and personality driven. If it's an interpretation of guidelines, then there are a number of ways you can fix it. And you might want to explore some of those. But right now, you're creating work in a time when you actually don't have the bandwidth to do it.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. Although I certainly could come up with some changes that I think would be advised based on what we've seen recently, I think we have a healthy process right now. The due diligence may or may not be done well, but people are actually reading the applications, are reading the due diligence, and calling us, the group as a whole, and the RALOs out on when things don't make sense. That's rather refreshing.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. Thank you. Any other concerns or thoughts? The concern I have at the moment is that the way the due diligence is performed, the way this is read and analyzed by the regions, the railroads are taking time to look through it and to make the recommendations. But then the ALAC itself is being asked to make a choice very, very fast enough. In fact, the input from the region is given, and then the ALAC is called for a five-day vote, and that's usually the first time that the ALAC actually starts looking at things. And so we're in a situation today where I'm having to suspend a vote because of questions that are being asked whilst the vote has already started. So maybe there needs to be done something in that respect. I see Cheryl has put her hand up and down and then back up. You wish to comment, Cheryl?
Yeah, I was going to comment. I was actually going to respond to Alan and Renali in text and just let them know that, in fact, the forms are easier to change in the process. So, yes, getting more clarity in the forms and the paperwork is nowhere near as problematic as changing the actual process. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for that, not the least of which is the Ombudsman's report, which is a binding set of advice on the board and on us. But I did want to why I put my hand up and down, was to try and put the due diligence into perspective, which, of course, has always been, since this process has been in place, the role of staff, because we had trusted them to be more independent than Mary Jane or John Smith, who may or may not be serving members of the ALAC and would most certainly be volunteers. There is absolutely no reason why the ALAC cannot be engaged as early as the regions. They can run their information seeking and individual education on the issues in a parallel process. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. I see Tijani Benjamin. Tijani, I can't hear you at the moment. You might be muted.
Sorry, yes, I was
okay.
Muted, yes. Okay.
So welcome back.
Thank you. I do think that the region has the duty to verify the application before the ALAC starts looking at it. And it is the case now. But the problem is that sometimes there is not enough attention in the region about the application. And in this case, generally, there is a discussion, there is a problem. I think that this thing, it cannot be solved. It will be always like this. What we can do is to perhaps to advise the ALAC members to start looking at the application from the beginning. Don't wait for the advice of the region and start looking at the application before, so that if there is a remark, it can be considered also by the region. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. I see two main points that seem to be emerging from this. One, we don't appear to have the bandwidth to create yet another working group or even an ad hoc working group to look at these issues and make some recommendations. But two, there are some amendments that need to be made, and certainly the one where the ALAC could have access to this information and being asked to comment or not to comment, sorry, but to look at the applications earlier and not just being given the details of the recommendations or the point of view of the RALO and then being sent directly into a vote seems to be something that we can do at the moment without needing any major changes. Alan, you put your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. As far as I understand, that is happening right now.
Yes.
Certainly on the ISOC Canada, the application went to the internal list and people identified some questions that were clearly answered wrong. You know, we asked them, are you going to help support the ICANN organization and tell your users about us? And they said no. Well, it was an error, but that was caught by some ALAC members who actually read the application. So it is happening now. How many people have the bandwidth to read these applications when they happen to come in is pure blind luck, however. If you look at the TDIC one, the question was asked, tell us about your general membership characteristics. And they listed 6 or 8 named people. Somebody should have called that out and said, is that your whole membership list? Because we were asking for characteristics and we got a list of names. So if it's not being done by ALAC, it should be done by the due diligence process. I don't know exactly what that process is and whether one staff member gets something for 5 minutes and has to turn it in or it's a group effort. All I know is, yes, we can make it better. Yes, we could ask better questions. But all the problems we've had to date were identifiable on the application form. And somehow we have to make sure we catch those. This time we have, by blind luck, some of them early, some of them late.
Right. Thank you, Alan. I'm mindful of the time. It is already 1.5 hours into our call. I don't think we're going to reach any decision here. In fact, I wasn't looking for a decision. But what I will do is to have an agenda item that will be dealing with the decertification. If we do have time, we will touch on the certification issues, but I will not suggest, because I was going to suggest, to have a working group look at this. I am mindful of the bandwidth this is taking on our volunteers. So, except, of course, if the discussion starts growing on the ALAC list, in which case, I will be asking then at that point if we could have a side discussion and therefore an ad hoc working group looking at this. I did speak with Yaovi a few days ago, whether he was particularly interested in the issue, and it appears that he was. So there might just be a leader for this process. But it could just be a few members of the ALAC that as Rinalia just mentioned here, would agree on some form of small subcommittee and not even need to create an ad hoc committee, but they would actually just concentrate on this for a few, for a month, let's say, and come back with their findings and their thoughts rather than all of us having to
be really
discuss
careful.
And deal with everything.
Cheryl, he'd be really careful when you're reinventing wheels, that you're not reinventing lemons, because there's been an awful lot of things that have actually been done before, and changes were made for very good reasons, and all of that needs to be taken into consideration. So don't lose touch with the history when you're doing that, that's all.
Thank you, Cheryl. No, the reason why I'm spending time on this is because, so we have had this recent problem. We've had a recent problem before that. In fact, there have been some potential ALSs who have come to me at ICANN meetings and have complained to me that the system, as seen from an outsider's point of view, is an absolute mess. That's what I've been told, and they told me, you guys have to sort this out, because I tell you something, as a first step into at large, a possible front door, this is not the sort of thing we were expecting. And so this is why I'm elevating this to the point of actually spending time on it and discussing it. Right, let's move on. The next one, NOMCOM update on the schedule. No, sorry, the ALAC objections follow-up. Goodness, we're only on number 5. I'm just going to be a couple of minutes on this one, actually. So far, there hasn't been very much going on as far as the follow-up to objections. As you know, there was a meeting with the World Health Organization representative in Beijing, and nothing has followed up after that. There has been apparent consolidation of cases. So the 3 cases were marked for consolidation. The feedback which I am aware of, so which we as in ICANN staff, myself, and Devon and Tilik Singh, who are on that return address, are aware of, is that a couple of the applicants have said they're okay. I don't know about the third applicant, the third one being Spruce Goose or Goose Fest. That's it. Spruce Goose, Goose Fest, same thing. So that's where the objections follow-up is at the moment. In order to lead, to be the leader of any follow-up discussion that might take place or direct interaction with some applicants, it is clear that we do need to have someone who is a lawyer, who is also aware of the process, who is aware of how these things, these mediation might work out. A suggestion was made to have Seth Rees, who was part of the review group to start with, so he is aware of what's been going on. He has the historical knowledge. I have asked him, and Seth Rees has replied positively and said he would be happy to serve as our front person for this process if it was to move forward with a direct interaction with the applicants, or if the International Chamber of Commerce, that's the resolution provider, would require direct representation. So my plan, and first plan, is to ask you if you'd be okay with this, and then the next thing is to ask the ALAC and basically ask for a consensus call on the ALAC call. That Seth would be basically given this responsibility, of course, working closely with myself and with Devon Antilixing, who historically, as you know, was the leader of the review group itself. Comments, questions? Don't see. Do I have your agreement to go ahead with this? See, Rinalia thought she volunteered for, sorry, could you please advise volunteered for, is that related to the follow-up group or? Yes, the team. No, the team is something else. I'm just talking about someone who would lead on this. Now, afterwards, there are several people who are, who were interested in being in the team. I know that Rinalia is one of them. I think I've got a couple of other names on there, but those will just be... First, we need to have Seth as our front man. You know, we've had no direct response and no direct engagement from any of the applicants, but if we do, we do need to have someone in who can take the lead on this. That's all. Okay, I know everyone is fine with Seth in the consensus call, so let's present this over to the ALAC during our next ALAC call. Next, the agenda item number 6, NOMCOM update to schedule selectee announcements, on the schedule of selectee announcements and the impacts of ALAC representative selection schedule. As you know, several of our RALOs need to select their ALAC representatives, and there has been some discussion going on in the RALOs with regards to making the selection later rather than earlier, etc., etc. And so the main question really is, what is the current schedule for the nominating committee? Since, as we know, the nominating committee is there to somehow balance things over. Usually the NOMCOM has to make its selection after the ALAC has made its selection, if I get this correctly. But perhaps I should hand the floor over to Cheryl Langdonor to explain this to us briefly.
Thank you, kind sir. Yes, indeed, in a perfect world, that's exactly when and where we would be doing these things. But if your regions can't get their acts together in time, my reaction is tough shit. And you'll get what we give you, and if the geographic balance doesn't work, then back to my first statement, tough shit. If your regions can't get their act together in a timely manner to give us enough time, we will work with what we have to work with, and you'll have to work with what you get. And there's not a damn thing we can do about it, because we've done our best from a nominating committee point of view to try and get and encourage and jump up and down and do our best to cajole and insist that your regions make their appointments to your ALAC in advance of us having to deal with our work, but we will deal with our work, and I won't say the rest be buggered, but I'm not far off saying that. However, there is another matter that we do need to deal with, which is in fact what is on the agenda, and that's the schedule for the appointments that you will be making as an ALAC into the next nominating committee, because this is also a process that goes, and one would consider a fairly important process, because singly I would suggest the power to commit five seats onto any year's nominating committee, and to ensure that the voice of the at-large community in a regionally balanced way, with the ALAC making their five geographically based appointments. That's a huge power, appointing eight members over any two-year period of the ICANN board, and of course important memberships into all of the councils and committees of the ACs and the SOs. And we would, I suggest, need people of a calibre that may in fact be held in even higher regard and to a higher set of criteria than any of the other appointments that any of the RALOs would be making. And the ALAC needs to, according to our rules, it says take into consideration or correspond or take into account regional opinion. What are the exact words? Let me refresh. After consultation with each RALO annually, the ALAC will appoint five voting delegates, no two of whom shall be citizens of the countries of countries in the same geographic region, to the nominating committee. I had hoped that each of the chairs of the ACs and the SOs who appoint to the NOMCOM, and indeed the GAC and others who appoint to the NOMCOM as well, but certainly all of you who have the power to appoint voting delegates, would have already had our letter, but it would appear you will probably be now getting it next week. You may appreciate, particularly, Olivier, that you might understand with a closing of a statement of interest date this week, NOMCOM leadership and administration has been a little bit busy, so we haven't got the other bit out. But it is our intention to be requesting from all of the appointing bodies, so XCOM, you're all getting an advanced heads up, I hope you appreciate it, that your processes, whatever they may be, will need to be completed with information back to the NOMCOM via Joette of your five appointments by no later than the 31st of July. That would mean, Olivier, that you may be in a position to finalise these deliberations, votes or whatever else you want to do with it on your meeting of the 29th, or actually it's the 4th of any month, and that's a five-week. So you might be doing it on the 22nd, but either the 22nd or no later than the 29th, I'd have thought, for your own sanity's sake, which means you'll have to get the regional information and any proposals of names for your consideration in well in advance of that. By putting our call out as early as next week, or I would be saying as late as next week, we're hoping that the constituencies in the GNSO and the regions in the ALAC and other components, such as in the CCNSO, will have a clear month to do their own regional advice getting. Is there anything else I can tell you? By the way, there'll be no extensions. It'll be the 31st of July or nothing.
Okay, thank you very much, Cheryl. So two questions. I mean, the first comment I have with regards to the selection of people that will serve in the NOMCOM is that last year the process was a lot later. I remember that the discussions were still going on in August. So you're basically telling us this time around the NOMCOM has decided to advance that process. Is that correct?
You will definitely need those numbers, those names in to NOMCOM by 2359 UTC on the 31st of July.
Okay, fine. Thank you. So that's one. The other question, and that's noted, and so staff will work with myself to look at these schedules, working back on as to when we need to start the process in the RALOs. Any comments from anyone with regards to the process last year, which, as we know, was a lot later, but the chunk of time, was that enough, the chunk of time that was allocated last year, or was that rushed for you? Alan Greenberg.
I'm not answering that question, but I have another comment to make, and specifically, I think we need to make a relatively short, concise statement to the RALOs what we expect of these people. It is past the time that we simply put our favorite son or a retiring ALAC member as a present onto the NOMCOM so they get travel support. Thank you.
Can I respond to that? Okay, Cheryl, I'm going to respond to that. Alan, one of the hold-ups is the fact that I want to actually have the key criteria and the desirable traits very clearly enunciated in the call for these selections to come forward in the letter from the NOMCOM going out to the chairs of all the EACs and the SOs so that they'll be in a position to pass exactly that information on.
Thank you.
And the other thing, Alan, I might just point out, and it will be made clear on the website, if not on the in the letter, because if we put too much in the letter, they will get bored and not bother reading it anyway, is, of course, that now gone are the days where one's performance as an appointee is not known, because we have our report cards going back to community.
Good. I wasn't aware of that. I'm pleased. So it's not an automatic two-year appointment. If you got there the first time, you go a second.
Correct. And it's also if you miss a meeting, then you don't have to be a rocket scientist to look at our report card and work out that if only two of the five regions within the at-large advisory committee were represented for the majority of the report cards, and you look at who sends out the report cards, they're probably the ones that were turning up.
Thank you, Cheryl. I'm back online. Sorry I was cut out for a short time, but I did listen to the discussions through Adobe. Just one point, I am in touch with Irio, who does provide me, and I guess I do have to ask him again now, provide me with regular updates on the attendance sheet of our representatives. And this is, of course, particularly important. With regards to the report cards, I have noticed that it's not something that they all send out. There was last month, I think they all did. Some of them did not. This month, one of them did already. The others did not yet. As you mentioned, it might be because they were not present at the call.
Probably. If I may also, there's two levels to your report back, though, remember. It's not just an attendance is now more easily divined because of the report cards, right, which is a new thing. Chair to chair, you would also be given advice as to whether these people are worth feeding or should be taken out to the back and left there.
And I'm looking forward to this. So the last question on this, and I'd like to move on since we are way over time now, with regards to the selection of ALAC people, you mentioned earlier that the NOMCOM will be going ahead with making its selections no matter what, regardless of geographic location. I think you mentioned
diversity.
I think it was gender diversity, or were you speaking about local geographic, depending on the on the region?
I'm saying, let me be really clear. What I'm saying is we will be making our appointments to the best we can, and the only way we can take the optimal view on diversity is if the regions have appointed and we know who they've appointed. For those regions who have not appointed, I come back to my quote, tough shit, you'll get what we give you.
So by when do you need the regions to have appointed their people? Because by when will you make your decision? That's the question.
Before Durban.
Before Durban?
Yes.
So that answer is provided very clearly. Thank you. Okay, so let's move on then. At-large meeting schedule for the 47th ICANN meeting in Durban. If we could have Heidi take us through the various questions, agendas, etc., please.
Yes, thank you. This is Heidi, for the record. I'm just going to put in what we have. This is the workspace that has all of the days for Durban. And you'll see that, for the most part, the ALAC, XCOM, and working group meetings have been scheduled. I will be adding there are just a few of the RALOs that would like to hold meetings. So for the first time in several meetings, it's a relatively light, I don't want to jinx it, but light schedule, as there are no capacity building sessions going on. I just wanted to, I don't know if Tijani wanted to very briefly go over the showcase plans. That's going to be on Monday. Tijani, do you want to go over those, or should I briefly go over what we've discussed?
If you can just quickly fly over it, please, because we are a little out of time.
Yes, hear me?
Yes,
Tijani, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, so Heidi, you were asking me about the showcase, isn't it?
Yes, very briefly, just go over what we had talked about, a slightly different type of reception this time.
Yes, exactly. So we will try to make a showcase with something different. We'll try to have the local community come, and it is not only for the showcase. We will try to make them come and participate in the meeting, the ALAC meeting, as if it is possible. But for the showcase, we will bring them. We will try to hear from them, and we'll try to learn from them. Because we don't have a lot of ALSs in South Africa. We have only one, and this one is not active. So this time we will try to bring people, NGOs, civil society organizations, universities, etc. In the showcase, and we will try to discuss with them. We'll try to have perhaps some cultural show during the showcase. So it is still under development, but it will be different from what we did before.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. Cheryl?
No, I just said it sounds exciting. I look forward to it.
Okay, but Cheryl, your hand is up. Was that an old hand, or is that a new hand?
I forgot to put it down because I'm typing with Alan.
Okay, thank you. Back to you, Heidi.
Okay, so what we'd like to talk about very briefly are the informal meetings. So again, we're waiting, still some sort of slash informal formal meetings with the ASO. So I've written to the staff support to that, haven't heard back yet from Louie or the other person on that. As discussed earlier, I'll follow up with Clark on the CCNSO, and we've heard that there'll be a small group from the CCNSO on that. For informal meetings, what we'd like is on Saturday, the XCOM dinner with liaisons. On Monday, we're thinking of having an at-large dinner. So, again, I can be covering the drinks, and then there would be dinner arranged after the showcase. So I think that's it, Gisela, for informal meetings. at the moment. There will be no social board interaction in Durban this time. Gisela, did you?
Sorry, Gisela here. Yes, that's correct, Heidi, and no interaction with the board except for the Tuesday morning regular meeting.
Yeah, correct. So basically, if you have time, or just you want to postpone this slightly to go over the initial discussion of agendas, particularly for the ALAC Sunday session and the ALAC, the two policy sessions on Tuesday. Olivier?
Yes, I'm hearing that.
Okay, so
well, I don't know if we have time. You're asking whether we have time. I don't think we have time, but let's just quickly go through them.
Okay, so the
question is ambiguous, and
yes,
you know
sorry,
the answer. Go ahead.
Yeah, so very briefly, on Sunday, we normally have that where we have invite Fadi at the beginning. We invite Sally and her team, GSC team, after that. And then if we have time, then we have initial discussion of working group updates. If you want to keep that on the Sunday. And then we can
I'm very much okay with having Fadi and with having Sally. I think it's particularly important. What I'm concerned about is that whilst we're building those, you can see that it goes 9 to 9.20, and then 9.20 to 10, and then 10 to 11, and then 11 to 11.15, etc. First, there doesn't seem to be any break anywhere. That's one problem. The other thing is when people walk into the table, or if any of these people are slightly late, and which is something that has happened in Beijing, by the way, then it delays everyone else behind it. And when people swap at the table, you lose 5 minutes. And by the end of the day, you've actually lost 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it shows, but I'm rather stressed about this.
I think all of us are. So, yeah, so what, we had this discussion before where people have asked and I've tried to allow time in the agenda for more lengthy time. But then as the days draw closer to the actual meeting, then people start requesting additional meetings, et cetera, so that's why the agenda is squeezed. So if we wanted to agree to just keep it like that, then we would need to also agree just to say no to some additional late requests for meetings. I mean, that's my only solution.
So we've got Fadi, Sally, Chris Gift and Jim Trengrove, Sebastian, Maggie Serrad, Xavier Calvez, and then the Atlas two with Sebastian.
For the most part, this is still left over from Beijing. I haven't updated this yet. I think the first couple of agenda items, up to three, will remain the same. I don't know if we need to have Sebastian this time. It depends on when Maggie is available. When she's normally in the afternoon. This is just a one-off, I think. So it's up to you, how you would like to schedule your Sunday session.
Well, I think we'll still need a session with Maggie. That's always contractual compliance is very good. We'll need something on the Atlas too, because maybe we can do it on another day than on the Sunday, depending. Probably on another day, since we'll have a committee. So let's do it on another day. Yeah. The Beijing reporting and the working session wrap-up is something that's standard, but that will probably have to happen a little earlier, won't it? Because Beijing was a little special in having... Oh, no, sorry, that's Sunday, so that's fine.
Yeah, I believe that the Sunday show will go on to 8:30.
And earlier than that, it really depends on who is able to see us. I would have hoped that we were going to be able to see... David Olive as well at some point.
Did you want that on Sunday? Because normally you got the extra.
What's your thoughts, anyone? I think everyone is pretty much fried at the moment, so they don't really. I can sense very little pulse on the line from anyone at the moment.
Oh, hang on, I'm still here.
No, Cheryl, you're just waking up, so that doesn't count.
It's midnight there. What do you mean she's just waking up?
It's 1 a.m. there. It's 1 a.m. It's not midnight.
Well,
is it 1 a.m.? I thought it was early in the morning.
No, it's 1 a.m.
Okay. Let's not argue about the time.
For Heidi, it's early in the morning.
Let's not argue about the time. Heidi, I think the answer that you have at the moment is, yes, let's have the first three, Let's give a bit more space, though. Let's air this a little bit, and then we'll have to deal with things on a case-by-case basis. I repeat to everyone, the reason why things mess up at the end is that we can spend hours on putting something together, and then 2 weeks before the actual meeting, things get shuffled around because suddenly things turn up on our calendars. So, Heidi, I'm a bit concerned if we spend so much time now that it's going to be thrown away anyway. Let's do the main framework and then off. Do we need to look at the other days or can we just...
Two more questions. One is, did you want to
yep.
meet with the ESAC on Sunday? I thought that was a good session. Did you
that
want
was an excellent session.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct. And if I
okay.
recall, there was an action item on this that we would meet for longer. Was it 90 minutes this time with the ESAC or something?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
I think it was. Correct. Okay.
So
and
put that
the
in there,
question,
please.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll add that. And I will just put more air into the agenda, and hopefully at minimum that will then allow a little bit, at least a coffee break in the morning. I'll put that in there, too. Okay, and then very quickly, the other... Today was Tuesday, and here's the Tuesday session. So did you wish to still, for the last few meetings during the ALEC policy sessions, the topics have been basically more effective relations with the working groups and the railroads. Did you wish to have that still, or did you wish to return to a more of a like hot topics / policy discussion? I do note that during the last wrap-up session, there was a lot of rather frantic discussion on some of the policies that were being voted on. So did you wish to have more of a policy discussion on upcoming ALEC statements at that point during one of the Tuesday sessions?
Let's hear from the floor. I see Evan and Alan. So first, Evan Leibovich.
Hi. Sorry, Olivia. I was just calling attention to a comment that I'd made in the chat in wondering if perhaps we could free up some time on Sunday by having Maggie and the compliance group actually do their presentation for the regulatory working group as opposed to the entire ALEC. Wondering if that will free up some time and probably make things a little bit less stressed out on the Sunday. Thanks.
We have a regulatory working group?
I think the regulatory working group would first have to exist before Maggie was to appear in front of it.
Actually,
Olivier,
I believe it has a time slotted for it.
Yeah, Olivia, may I add on that?
Yes. Go ahead,
so
please.
Basically, this was a suggestion of Evan that was agreed to by the list. This is sort of a merger of the WHOIS and the RRR working groups. So their first meeting will be held in Durban. It's called the At-Large Regulatory Issues Working Group, and they've been scheduled for Monday, 11 to 12:30.
Okay, thank you. But that's not a working group. I mean, it could be regulatory group, but it's not regulatory working group because
okay.
a working group would require an actual ALEC vote to set up.
No.
And
I
think I mentioned that in our last discussion.
Okay, good point. And noted, I'm taking off the word working right now on the agenda.
But, I mean, it's, you know, I'm all for groups working together, but, you know, if maybe as a first step, get them to have their joint meeting in Durban, and then maybe see from there if the two groups want to merge, and we might actually have the ALEC vote in Durban at that point. I think that was the plan, to get the ALEC to vote and decide at that point if it wants to merge the two groups together. Alan Greenberg?
At this point,
oh, sorry. Sorry, back to you,
Evan. They're meeting together, that one of the things that could be done to ease some of the pressure from Sunday is to have Maggie speak at that meeting
yeah.
instead of on the Sunday. That's all I'm saying. If the intent is to try and free up time and make things a little less stressful on the Sunday, that's one of the things that could do it.
Very good point, Evan. Any thoughts on this? I see Alan has put his hand up. Are you going to speak on this specifically?
I will speak on that as well as a number of other things.
Perfect. Go ahead, Alan.
In terms of what that group will do, I think this should almost be what the GNSO calls a draft team to come up with a charter so we understand what the group is responsible for and what it isn't. In terms of Maggie presenting to that group, I think that's one of the very few things that there is general interest in the ALEC, and I would not want to move that. However, back to my original hand being up, we've scheduled, if I heard correctly, 90 minutes with FSAC. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct, Alan.
We had a fantastically interesting meeting in Beijing. I think that was largely due to the specific topic. And 90 minutes may be perfect or way overkill, depending on what issues we're going to be talking about. I mean, the ESSEC does a lot of important stuff, but it is often of less general interest than some of the things it does. So I'm a little bit reluctant to schedule 90 minutes not knowing what it is we're going to be talking about, even though we had a very good meeting in Beijing with the ESSEC, and it would be nice if it was longer. That's point number one. Point number two, the question you asked earlier was, should we have policy discussions on Tuesday? Last time, we didn't really schedule any time for policy, and then on Thursday, we crammed in both votes and discussion of some of the issues. I believe strongly that Tuesday, which is essentially our working day, you know, equivalent to the constituency day for the other groups, is when we should be having substantive discussion on policy and then a vote, you know, maybe with some drafting in between the 2 days on Thursday. So, my two bits.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Alan. On the ESSAC point, maybe we can just ask Julie, well, keep it 90 minutes for the time being, because it's always difficult to extend time, but it's easy to chop bits off. So keep it 90 minutes for the time being, and ask Julie as soon as possible to make suggestions as to what subjects to be discussed on this occasion. And then we'll see if there's a lot of interest, we can shrink it. If there's not that much potential for a good conversation or excellent conversation, then we could shorten it to 60 rather than 90. Correct? Yeah.
Okay.
Or 30.
I'd also, thank you. And then, I think 30 is not enough, bearing in mind there are a lot more issues that are about to come out of ESSAC. Of which I've had a discussion with Patrick Feldstrom on this, and there seems to be a lot more going on. With regards to to Maggie, I also feel inclined to keep Maggie on the Sunday or for the all of ALAC, because that is something which has really been of much interest to the majority of the ALAC. And bearing in mind that a working group might clash with other working groups that take place at the same time, and so I'm a little concerned that people might have to choose between having a discussion with Maggie and doing something else, let's say IDNs on one side and Maggie on the other, just a little concern on that. So let's keep it to this. Now, that said, if Maggie is able to perhaps spend some time with that working group as well, to look at deeper issues, then that really is for her to choose and to find out. But I'm a bit concerned about taking this out of the main ALAC when this has been a really very lively session. Yes, keep Maggie on the Sunday, please, for the time being. So, any other questions? And Heidi, do you need any other
input? Again, this is Heidi. So on Tuesday, did you want to, again, keep the first session, ALAC policy discussion one with the update from the various working groups, and then the ALAC policy session two to have that discuss RALO working group relations with the ALAC?
Sorry, can you say that again? I didn't hear that very well.
Yeah,
there was
sorry. So on Tuesday, we currently have those two policy sessions, ALAC policy discussion one. That is, the last two meetings, it's been the dedicated to working group updates from the various chairs.
Yep.
And then the ALAC policy session two has been a discussion of how to make working groups and RALO relations with the ALAC increase their effectiveness in the development of policy advice. Did you want wish to keep that as well?
So let's first look at the working group updates. I think that they've been very helpful because they actually allow all of the ALAC to know what's going on in the working groups. One of the concerns that I have is that members of the ALAC come back from a meeting and say, we spoke all about process, but we didn't have discussions on policy. And they forget that a lot of the policy now takes place in working group. Exactly, as Evan says also, the whole point of the working groups is to offload work from all of the ALAC. So having an update from this, from the working groups to the ALAC is, I think, very helpful. Does anybody think otherwise?
Sounds okay to me.
Okay, so that's fine. So that's one. Now, with regards to getting the RALOs to work better with the ALAC and the RALO relations with and ALAC working group relations, etc., you know, I must say, I feel a little disappointed about the impact, or rather the lack of impact that this has had so far. And I'm up for suggestions from the group here. Rinalia.
This is Rinalia for the transcript. May I suggest that we keep that session because I think somewhat important, because until we get a really good working relationship between RALO and ALAC on policy matters, then we have to keep at it. I would like to suggest a different format in having this session. Rather than just an open meeting, I'd like to have the RALO chairs on a panel and someone moderating it, preferably you, where you ask each one of them in terms of, you know, what's the plan for the region in terms of policy engagement, etc., etc. And then have a discussion based on those, rather than just have it open. Just a suggestion.
That's all. Yep. Thank you, Rinalia. Any thoughts on this? I think someone, Alan has a green tick. Rinalia agrees with herself. That's good. anyone else? Any thoughts on this? It's the first I hear of this suggestion, and I must say, I see Alan. So I'll let Alan speak first, and he'll let me think a little more before I give my reply. Alan Greenberg, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. To some extent, in some regions, and without pointing any fingers, the regional chair is a very passive position. I think changing that is a good thing. I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Alan.
You can add your own dripping sarcasm.
Well, no, there's no sarcasm at all. I think that's it's a good point here, and I was going to suggest, actually, that this session be led by Rinalia. I've seen how she has led the session, the multi-stakeholder session in Beijing, and yes, I hereby ask support from everyone else if Rinalia could lead this session. I think that she has a very good point here on actually getting the RALO chairs to do work and to speak policy as well. It sounds good. Any thoughts on this? I mean, do we have consensus?
It can only help.
I agree, Renal. It's Alan speaking. I agree, Renal, you'd be great at it. I'm really reluctant to penalize people who have come up with good, productive, new ideas, however.
Well, tradition, Alan. I mean,
I understand the tradition, which may explain why we have so few of them.
Thank you very much, Alan. And I think we also need to change this idea that this is a penalty for making a suggestion. I'm not pinning something on Rinalia and saying, right, that's your baby now, you go ahead with it. What I'm basically saying is if she has a good idea, I think she should be given the opportunity to be able to present and to expand on this and actually put it into action. Just having heard the idea there, I think it's an excellent idea. If you want co-moderators, if you want me to be there, yes, of course, I'm fine with co-moderating. That's no problem. I don't see why it's a penalty. Goodness, what should I be saying? Maybe that's what was said, wasn't it, at the time? I don't know. Look, I'm mindful of the time now. We've gone way beyond any other anything that we can think of. Just one thought with regards to Maggie, coming back to Maggie's appearance before the ALAC, perhaps that session could be shortened to 30 minutes rather than an hour on the Sunday. And then Maggie can spend her hour with the regulatory working group. So at least she provides a full details to the ALAC on what's going on with compliance. And then based on what she said, we can tell ALAC members that they can join the next session or the session on the Tuesday with the regulatory working group or regulatory group, sorry. To ask further questions and push on this. It's another suggestion. Right, I see I'm losing everyone at the moment, so Heidi, any more from you?
I thank you, this is Heidi. I think that's fine for right now. We'll move forward on that, and then the next meeting we can discuss more. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Number 7, topics for the 28th of May. How fantastic. There are a couple of things on there. We've got GNSO work on policy and implementation in the ICANN context. Sorry?
I thought we did some of these in the last meeting.
I'm not quite sure. I'm trying to see. Yes, thank you very much, Cheryl. I'm trying to find a link to the next ALAC meeting, and I can't find it at the moment.
So has that been set up, that agenda page? It might not have been set up yet.
Sorry, Heidi, it's Kiefer here. Which agenda page?
At the ALAC
meeting, 20th of May.
The ALAC meeting, 20th of 28th
of May.
Yeah, it should be set up. I'll double check, but we're usually 1 month to the next for the 28th.
Okay. Well, I've already provided some details to staff on subjects that need to be added to it. Since we've run out of time and we just definitely don't have time to look for elusive pages, let's cut this short and ask everyone to receive a note on the XCOM list about the link to the next ALAC meeting, and for suggestions to be made if there is anything that they'd like to suggest in addition. Yes, Heidi.
Yeah, just very quickly, right now I would suggest we have the action items that include the GNSO work on policy and implementation. That was an action item from the 29th of April meeting. Then I would suggest Durban activities, and we've agreed to have an ALS certification vote under items for decision. So we'll definitely include those items.
Okay, thank you. Plus all of the stuff that I've sent you as well, please.
Okay, yes.
Thank you. So let's move on. Now I'm on the wrong... Yes, go ahead, Heidi. oh, sorry, I see both Alan and Cheryl. So Alan first. Sorry about that. Alan Greenberg, go ahead.
I just wanted to make sure we had an item on the rules of procedure documents so we could talk briefly about them and schedule the votes soon after.
Thank you, Alan. That's a great point. Let's add this as well. How long do you need?
Rinaldi is the one who's made most comments, and I'm not sure she wants to make a lot more. I would hope under 10 minutes, hopefully well under 10 minutes, since all of the documents will have been distributed well ahead of time, just a heads up that they're coming. So I would think 5 minutes is enough, but you never know the way these things go.
Okay, thank you. And next, Cheryl.
Thanks. I just wanted to inform you all that for the meeting is the 28th, I will be late attending. The NomCom meets now every week, and the first hour of your meeting is clashing with the NOMCOM meeting, so I won't be there until one of your hours at the very least, maybe a little bit earlier than that, but assume I won't be there for the first hour of your meeting, so anything that you do desire my input or commentary on should be put into the latter part of your agenda. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Cheryl. Right, let's move on. I see no one else wishing to comment on this. So then we have an update on the next beginner's guide on ALAC policy. I wonder if we can just have a one-minute update from Matt, please.
Hi, this is Matt for the record. So I will be producing an initial draft of an ALAC beginner's guide to policy development. The beginner's guide is going to be pretty brief. It's just going to cover a few topics. I came up with a brief list and sent it to Olivier. It's going to cover just a few majors, such as who is the RAA, IDN, ICANN strat plans and budgets, the concept of the public interest, and new GTLDs. Since new GTLDs is a bit tricky, Olivier has suggested contacting Avery and seeing what she thinks her group believes are the top priorities in the new GTLD program at this time. After I've written the briefs on each of these, I would most likely work with the subject matter expert within the ALAC or at large and make sure everything's good, and then provide a draft for the group to review.
Okay, thanks very much, Matt. That's good. Any input from anyone at this time? I'm a little concerned that I think most people are a bit fried at the moment, so it's not really going to happen. Can you just send the call out over to the lists, please, or to the XCOM list, and then we can bring in some input, Matt?
Sure. Just please note that there will be a pretty tight deadline for me to produce a first draft. So if everyone could please respond after I send the email within the next few days, preferably by Tuesday at the latest, that would be great, because that would give me enough time to work on it and follow up.
Okay, fine. That's fine. Thanks. Right. Anything else on number 10? Any other business? I don't see any other business. Okay, with everyone being pretty much fried, I think, at this time, and a lot of people dropping off and having to go, I thank all of you for these 2.5 hours of an XCOM call, which is very long. I do apologize for the length, but we had a lot of stuff to discuss. And thanks to all of you. I did, but it says after the call closes, so I do need to close the call first, and then I will remain online.
Not hanging up.
I've put sure as long as staff is aware that they shouldn't hang up either.
That's fine. I don't mind if staff hang up or not, as long as the call continues.
Okay. Thanks very much, everyone, and this call is now adjourned. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks, Olivia. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.